Look at you all today. Look at this crowd. Give yourselves a hand. Come on. And you know, the worship team, they do such a good job. I hate not to thank them. So let's show our appreciation of them if we can. And the Rams won the Super Bowl. All you Bengal fans that were here last week, and the 49er fans, and the Cowboy fans, and the Raider fans, the Rams won the Super Bowl. Oh, you know, I didn't really watch much of the game, but I saw the end of it. It was really close, came down the last few plays. And I don't know, I'm glad the Rams won, aren't you, a little bit? I mean, it's okay. Everybody feeling good? Look at all these people coming in here. Give them a hand. Okay. We're starting a brand new series today on baptism. Brand new series. And if you have your book, I want you to raise it up. I want to take a picture of you, okay? Is that okay? You're all going to be Instagrammed here. All right, so you have your book. Now hold it right up so I can see it. These are all the folks, Shepherd Church, that are going to take the next 5 weeks, and we're going to learn a lot about the subject of baptism. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, that was great. You should see that. That was great. So we put this book together. I want you to go over to page 6, okay, if you can. Show you what we're doing. If you go to page 6, that's the table of contents. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject, the who, what, and why of baptism. Next weekend, and I want you to know I'm doing all five. One of the five is going to be me on video because we had to do some extra things. You'll understand when you see it. So next week, more than getting dunked. You're not just getting dunked, okay? Week 3, I'm going to answer this question. Do I have to be baptized? It's a great question. Do I have to be baptized? And week number 4, the prerequisites of baptism. In other words, you really should not be baptized until these things are happening or have happened. I want you in your table of contents to write down that date, March 12th and 13th. You can see it up here on the screen behind me. It's highlighted because after we go through these 4 weeks, I want you here each and every week. You bring this back with you every week. You don't get another one, okay? We only made 7,000 of them. And of course, this is our third service. Look how many people are here for all the campuses. So this is it. You can put your name in the front in case you drop it somewhere with a number or an email. And if we find one, we'll look it up and try to get it back to you, okay? So we want you here the next 4 weeks. Take really good notes. You're gonna learn things you've never heard before. Some of it you have heard before. And at the end of that 4th week, we put this little card in there. If you're at this point where you feel like you should be baptized, fill this card off, fill it out sometime the next 3 or 4 weeks and drop it off. And on that weekend, right after church, we're gonna go outside. We have an outdoor baptistry. That fountain out there is an outdoor baptistry. And we're gonna put up some swimming pools. And we will stay as long as we need to baptize whoever wants to be baptized and whoever's made that decision, okay? So that's the plan. Now, I want you to go to page 9. Go to page 9. Chapter 1. Everybody say chapter 1. I want to speak to you today on the who, the what, and the why of baptism. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. It is okay if you have studied bits and pieces of this subject before. Today, we want to start with what we call the basics. I want to show you a picture of a football coach from the 1960s. His name is Vince Lombardi. He was the coach of another losing team, the Green Bay Packers. And In the year 1960, the Green Bay Packers did not win the Super Bowl. And so the story goes that on the first day of practice for 1961 series, that year, that Vince Lombardi, the first day of practice, he gathered the team together and he held up a football. And he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And what he was doing was he was saying, we have to go back to the basics. And in 1961, the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl beat the New York lousy Giants 37-0. And it all goes because they went back to the basics. Now this right here, this is baptism. We're going back to the basics. And I'm gonna, so many things in my heart that I wanna teach you about this subject. And you're gonna see even today, we can't get it all in really even in 4 weeks, but we're gonna give it a try. Can you say amen? We're laying down today the most basic truths concerning baptism. In the coming weeks, we're gonna dig deeper into the theology and the doctrines of baptism. Now, I want to ask, how many of you are excited to begin this journey? How many of you are excited about this journey? It's a legit question. Why should anyone ever be baptized? Why? Say this. That's a legit question. Say it. It's a legit question. Well, it may or may not surprise you. We're going to look at the who was baptized, what is the purpose of baptism, and why. We're going to answer that question, why should anyone be baptized? First of all, write this down in your notes. Jesus was first baptized. After walking, they didn't have cars back in those days. He walked approximately 70 miles. Jesus was baptized by a guy named John the Baptist in the Jordan River. The river called Jordan. We're going to read this in a minute, this text in Matthew 3. I'm not going to put this on the screen. But if you go to Matthew 3, if you have your Bibles, and you look at the very first verse, Matthew 3:1 says that we see John the Baptist. Some people call him John the Baptizer. He's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he was preaching in the desert of Judea. Now, where is the desert of Judea? Wherever that is, that's where John the Baptist was baptizing people. And Jesus, according to that verse, walked 70 miles to go find John the Baptist and to be baptized. Now, in John, I want to show you this verse. This is in John chapter 1, verse 28. John's his description, he tells us exactly where this took place. John 1:28 says that this all happened at Bethany on the other side, not the other side of the railroad tracks, but on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. I want to show you a map. Here's a map of Israel. Several things I want you to note. Up top, you'll see the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus spent most of his time in ministry. That's where Nazareth is up there by the Sea of Galilee. Most of Jesus' miracles took place up there in the Sea of Galilee. Now, at the very southern part of the nation of Israel is called the Dead Sea. And you'll notice that there's a river that flows all the way from the north all the way through Israel to the south. That river connecting the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea is the River Jordan. So somewhere on that river, Jesus was baptized. John's account, we just read it. It was in a town called Bethany on the other side of the Jordan. Now you'll notice on the map that Jerusalem and Jericho and Bethany are all down there in southern southern Israel by the Dead Sea. How many of you see that? You see it. You see where Bethany is. Now, let's put this verse up here, Matthew 3, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. It says that then Jesus came from Galilee, which is northern Israel. He came to the Jordan some 70 miles to be baptized by John. Now, I always joke, Jesus walked 70 miles. I can't get people to walk 17 feet. But Jesus was intent on being baptized by John the Baptist. Now, let's look at verse 14 and 15, Matthew chapter 3. It says, John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming and asking me to baptize you? John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and Jesus walks all the way down there to be baptized, and John's like, no, I'm not baptizing you. If anybody's baptizing anybody here, Jesus, you're baptizing me. Verse 15, Jesus said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. Jesus actually had to talk John the Baptist into baptizing him. You might have done the same. Think about it. If Jesus came to you and said, would you baptize me? You might have said this, Lord, I can't baptize. You should be baptizing me. It's exactly what John said. Now look at verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, the Bible says that heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Now in that verse, I'm going to leave it on the screen, we see the Trinity. You say, what's the Trinity? The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three different entities, yet all one in the same. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see it in that text. You have Jesus, the Son, God the Son. He's there physically. Here's Jesus. You see him. He's in the water. He's baptized. As soon as he's baptized, the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. And so you see Jesus the Son, you see the Holy Spirit of God, and then you hear the voice of God saying, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. It's the Trinity in one text. You see the Trinity from time to time, but here is the clearest picture of it. Now, Jess Moody, who was the former pastor of this church, he was a big, tall guy, too. And I remember watching Jess whenever he baptized anybody. As soon as you came up out of that water, he would say, and as the Holy Spirit, and he'd take his hand, big hand, and he'd do this, as the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus when he was baptized, and he'd be doing this right on top of your head, may the Holy Spirit descend upon you. Oh, it was a beautiful picture of baptism. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to write this down if you can quickly. Verse 13, Jesus walked to the Jordan. He did this of his own free will. You should never be forced to be baptized. If you've got to be talked into it, or if someone is forcing you to do it, or they do it and it wasn't even your will, it doesn't really do you much good. It has to be your own free will. Number two, write this down. Jesus would not be denied. John the Baptist tried to talk him out of it. But Jesus would not be denied. You'd be shocked by how many people come to church and want to be baptized, but someone in their family tries to talk them out of it. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it. Jesus would not be denied. Number three, we'll talk about this in a few minutes. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. It was proper to fulfill all righteousness. And there's a little bit of prophecy here, and it's a shadowing of what's going to come for Jesus. That in just a little while, he will go to the cross and he will die. And so you've got this big timeline. In the midst of this timeline that we've talked about in recent weeks, that God has this plan to redeem mankind. And it's the time. Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. It's time to get this thing started. And so he was doing this to fulfill all righteousness. It was proper. It was the right thing to do. And number four, write this down. He was pleasing his heavenly Father. And how many of you know it's a good thing to please your Father, your heavenly Father? Oh, it's a good thing. Now go to page 10. I want to dig a little deeper. What is the significance of Jesus' baptism? There's three things here. Number one, he was initiating his ministry. He was initiating his ministry. I want you to write this down. He was about 30 years of age when he did this. He's 30. We have anybody in here who's 30, exactly 30? That lady, right? Stand up. Come on, stand up, stand up. Turn around, let everybody see what a 30-year-old looks like. Now, we know what happened at Jesus' birth. We have one story when he was 12. We don't know another thing about Jesus between his birth and by the time he turns 30. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened in those 30 years. Again, there's a lot in here about when he was born. We have one story when he was 12, and we don't know another thing about him until he shows up and he's 30 years of age, and he walks 70 miles to go down there and be baptized by John the Baptist at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan. So he shows up. What he's saying is it's time for my ministry to begin. Stay with me. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. John the Baptist was the one preparing the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist had his own ministry. And John the Baptist was baptizing people. And he's saying, hey, everybody repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The Messiah is about to appear. And one day at age 30, Jesus shows up. And he says, John, I want you to baptize me. And John said, no. If anybody's baptizing, you're baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, I insist. The time is now. This is the time. You're baptizing me. And so he baptizes him. But at that moment, in a sense, John the Baptist, his ministry of announcing the coming of the Messiah is now over. The baptism of Jesus is like the passing of the baton. It's no longer John the Baptist's ministry to introduce the Messiah. The Messiah is now here. And everything that you read in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke, and the book of John, all of that is written telling about when Jesus was 30, he's baptized, and the next 3.5 years, he goes to the cross. So everything we know about Jesus really took place in those 3.5 years from his baptism here in Matthew 3 to when he goes to the cross. How many of you are with me? Now, secondly, he was baptized to set us an example. Jesus always set an example for us. And I know this is strange, but I want you to write your name. There's a place there. Just write your name, because what I want you to know is that when Jesus was baptized, this is one of the sweetest moments in the Bible. Part of the reason why he did that was to set an example for you and for me. That's a sweet thought. And number three, write this down. He was doing it to honor his heavenly Father. I don't know why. I will never be able to explain why. But since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, every day of my life, when I'm here, I lived to honor my earthly father. My dad died 2 years ago, March of 2020. And even today, I get up every day trying to honor my earthly father. I don't know what's wrong with some of you kids out here, because it seems like some kids get up and they don't care what their parents want, and they don't do anything to try to honor their mom or their dad. And I don't know what got into you kids. And it was nothing that I did. I think God just put it in me while I was on this earth. I just had such love and respect for my earthly father that I just every day wanted to please him and honor him. And Jesus lived every day trying to honor his heavenly father. Now, I failed from time to time. I didn't always honor my dad. I wanted to, but I'm not perfect, so I failed from time to time. But Jesus never failed. Every single day of Jesus' life on this earth, he was trying to please his heavenly Father. And at this moment that Jesus is actually baptized in the River Jordan over there at Bethany on the other side of the Judean desert, you hear that voice of God saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." He was doing exactly what his heavenly Father had called him to do. Amen? Now, go to page 11. That's the who. What is baptism? What is it? I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans chapter 6. I want to read this, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But Romans 6, this is the what. Everybody say the what. Here it is. Don't you know? Everybody say, don't you know? In other words, you should know this. If the Bible says, don't you know, it's like, you should know this. That all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Sounds a little strange. Verse 4, we were therefore buried. Everybody say buried. We were buried with him. Well, how are we buried with Christ? You were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we certainly also will be united with him in his resurrection. I want you to write this down. Baptism is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a picture, a photograph, a symbol, a drawing, portraying Jesus died on a cross like this. And they took him off the cross and they buried him. For 3 days. And then he came out of the grave. So when you're baptized, it's a picture of you there in that water, a dead person, because you've died to yourself. And we're going to bury you, the old you. Now, we don't hold you underneath there for 3 days. Some of you, we should. But we just barely get you under, and then you kind of pop up out of that water. The new you. Now, I'm going to teach you some things. I want you to write this down. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo. Baptizo. Everybody say baptizo. That's a Greek word. This was written in Greek. And the Greek language, the word baptizo, is a word that means immersion. Baptizo was translated into English. They had to come up with what's an English word that sounds like baptizo, and they just made this word baptism. Baptism and baptizo is the same word. But in Greek, it's a word that meant to immerse. The Greek language is far more colorful, more descriptive than the English language that you and I speak. For example, the word love. Now, I say love, we have all kinds of different meanings, because some of you say, I love my spouse, and then you'll say, and I also love my cat. Well, that word love, are you telling me you love your cat as much as you love your spouse? Well, no. Yeah, but you said you love your cat. Yeah, but I love my spouse. I love God. Yeah, but that word is not very descriptive. Now, the Greeks, they had a word called eros. That was a word that meant erotic love. They had another word, phileo, which is brotherly love. I love you like I love my brother. They had another word called agape. Agape is this selfless love. Agape is this, I'm willing to sacrifice for you. I'm willing to give my life for you. It's a selfless love. It's agape love. The Greeks had all these different words that were more descriptive than our English words. And so when you come to the matter of being baptized, the word that they used was baptizo. It's a word that means to fully immerse, not sprinkled. That's a whole different word. Now, next time you go to a Greek restaurant or you know someone who speaks Greek, just ask them this question. Say, hey, can you tell me what does the word baptizo means in the Greek language? Just ask them. They'll take a lemon, a lime, a cherry, and they'll take a drink. And they'll completely submerge it, because that's what the word baptizo means. Now, I want to ask you this question. Where did sprinkling get started in the church? If the Bible says that we're to immerse people for our baptisms, how did we all get to where we were sprinkling each other? And this is a good question, because about a third of this church comes out of Catholic backgrounds. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I've taken polls. I follow the science. There's always a Catholic person, and I said, Pastor, I'm a Catholic. I'm here today. Oh, welcome. Half the church is Catholic. Really? Really? We'll conduct a scientific poll right now. I'll show you. How many of you sitting right here, you or your family comes out of the Catholic Church? Raise your hand real high. Leave it up. Now wave your hand so everybody can see. Look at all the people here. Look, this is the Catholic Church. You thought you were the only one. You know why there's so many Catholics in here today? I honestly know all this because I've talked to so many. It's because they love learning what the Word of God has to say. They love hearing the Word of God. It's not because they like bald people. So, if you came out of the Catholic Church, you were sprinkled for your baptism. And you started coming to this church and you noticed, well, what is this dunking? What is this full submersion, immersion stuff going on? This nesty plunge, what's going on over here? Well, the reason we baptized by immersion is because of this Greek word that when you read baptism in the Bible, it's not an English word, it's a Greek word that means to immerse. So again, how did sprinkling ever get started? You should know the answer to this. Now, I've studied it, and I'm going to give you some names so you can study it. I always say, don't believe what I'm telling you. Just study everything that you hear. Write this name down, novation. Novation, write it down. Novation, like innovation. In the year 251, here's how sprinkling got started, all right? This guy was on his deathbed and had never been baptized. And he decided he wants to be baptized. And the doctors tell him, well, if you're baptized, you can't, they said, you can't move him. He'll die. If you move him here off the bed, he's going to die. And they said, well, he has to be baptized. He's never been baptized. The doctor said, no, you cannot move him. He will die. So they had to come up with a compromise. And what they did is they decided, they brought in these like six big stone vats of water, and they surrounded this guy, and they said to him, look, we're going to count to three, and we're going to pour all this water on you, and if you get better and survive and you live, you got to get up and be baptized the right way, and he agreed to do so. So they counted to three, one, two, three, and these guys poured all this water on him. He almost drowned there on his deathbed. And you know what happened? He got better, but he never went back and was immersed, and he said it was good enough because they covered me in water. Now, two things happen. These things are natural. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. This is a natural progression of what happened. Number one, the amount of water got less and less. Instead of six vats, let's just pour five vats on them today because Charlie's not here, and so we don't have six vats anyway. Let's just put five vats on them because who's going to tell the difference between five vats of water and six? No one. So they did five vats, and then they did four vats, they did three vats, and two vats, and one vat. Then they did like 12 handfuls, and then they did 10 sprinkles, and they went two sprinkles, and they went one sprinkle. And today, there are some churches that don't even use water anymore. They just use rose petals. It's a natural thing. The second thing that happened, the reason for the emergency got less and less. First, it was a legitimate, this was legitimate. This guy was going to die if they moved him. Let's do this. It was a good thing. Then it was someone who had his ankle was hurt. And then it was somebody with an elbow that hurt. And next it was somebody with a strained eyelash. The reason for the emergency got less and less. And about 500 years go by, this guy named Pope Stephen, you can write it down, Pope Stephen III, if you read his story, he was the pope, but he was being chased out of the country. He was actually fleeing for his life. And he was in hiding somewhere, and some people found him, and they said to Pope Stephen, they said, hey, can we ask you a question? He said, yes. He said, hey, is it okay for us to sprinkle someone if it's an emergency? And Pope Stephen III, 500 years later, says, yeah, okay, it's okay if it's an emergency. And then write this down. There's nowhere in your notes, but write it down. It was Pope Clement V. You can study this. In the year 1311, that legislated sprinkling for baptism. And so for 1,311 years, that's a long time, every single believer in Jesus Christ was immersed for their baptism, except for those who had emergencies or necessities. That's the history of sprinkling. So if you're here today and you were sprinkled for your baptism, I want you to know that you are following the doctrine of the Catholic Church when they switched it in the year 1311. And this is my opinion as I read the scriptures. You've never been immersed as the Bible teaches. I want you to write this down at the very bottom of page 11. You have to understand that your baptism is a picture of a, it is a picture of a burial. It's a picture of a burial. I want to tell you three things about this. Number one, if you were to fall over dead right now, there you went. It's not a very pleasant thought. But if we did your service and we took you out to the cemetery and you're there in the casket, and at the very end of the service, they took a little bit of dirt and just sprinkled a couple little pieces of dirt on top of your casket and everybody walked away. I want you to know, as your friend, I would say, hey, we got to give this guy a proper burial. Oh, no, we put him underneath dirt. I go, first of all, you don't understand. This brother died in my church. And I see the little bit of dirt there, but he's not had a proper burial. We need to bury him. And they would argue with me. They would say, here's exactly what they would say. They would say, well, you're putting too much emphasis on the amount of dirt. And I would say, no, I'm not putting an emphasis on the amount of dirt. I just know the difference between being buried and not buried, and you've not buried this brother, and this brother needs to be buried. And I believe, according as I've studied these scriptures, if you've had a little bit of water sprinkled on top of your head, you've never been buried with Christ in Christian baptism. Now, number two, I want to show you a one-way street. Now, I did not learn this in Bible college. I didn't learn this from anybody. There wasn't some preacher who told me this. I did not read this in a book. God put this street on my heart as I thought about it. It's a one-way street of people who were sprinkled for their baptism. After studying the Bible, they reached a conclusion that they needed to be immersed. That is a one-way street. I have never met in all of my life, as I've traveled the world, I've never met a single person who was ever immersed for their baptism, and after studying the scriptures, they go, you know what? I need to be sprinkled. It's never happened. It's a one-way street. Number three, here's the third thing I want to tell you about this. And this is going to be helpful. A lot of people who were sprinkled and they wrestle, should I be immersed? They're afraid because they don't want to reject their family. And I want you to know that when you're immersed for your baptism, you're not rejecting your family. You just know more than what they knew. My grandfather, this is my grandfather, he was born in the year 1900. So I always know how old he would have been if he was still alive. And do you know when Orville and Wilbur Wright flew the first airplane, what year it was? It was the year 1903. When Orville and Wilbur Wright flew the first airplane in 1903, it was December, the plane took off. It was the first self-propelled plane. It took off. It was in the air for 12 seconds before it crashed. It went 120 feet, which is about the length of this auditorium. That was in the year 1903. 17 years later, in the 1920s, was when commercial airlines took off. I want you to think about that. In the 1920s, there's pictures. I should have showed you one. You can see these planes in 1920, people boarding, people like you and I, getting on board planes and flying to different parts of the United States. In the 1920s, my grandfather would have been 20 years old. And when he was 20, he believed that it was wrong to get in an airplane. He believed that if God had intended man to fly, why, he would have put wings on our backs like he did the angels and like he did the birds. And that God never intended for you and I to get in an airplane, get up in the air. He just felt it was wrong. Now, you think about it, because it all happened when he was 20. Now, I know today, statistically, it is safer for me to get on an airplane and fly to New York City than it is for me to walk across the street to Starbucks or to drive on the 405. And so when I get on board that plane, I'm not rejecting my grandfather. I'm not denying his legacy. I just happen to know more than he knows. And the Bible says we're all going to be held accountable for what we know. And so I say this to you in love. If you were sprinkled for your baptism, and that's the only baptism you've ever had, you probably need to seriously consider being baptized, baptizo, by full immersion, symboling the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we close, everybody say, as we close. How many of you learned something today you've never learned before? Oh, wait till the next few weeks. Now, in 3 weeks, if you go to all four of these lessons, take these notes. Again, we're going right outside to be baptized. Make sure you fill this card out if you're interested. I want to talk about the why. Why would anybody be baptized? I want you to write this down. Here's the why. Because Christ commands us to be baptized. Because Christ commands us. If you didn't hear a single word I said the last 30 minutes, you need to listen to these next few thoughts. If you go to Matthew 28, which is the very last words of Jesus, these are his last words. He was born. At age 12, we have one story. And then at age 30, he's baptized by John the Baptist. His ministry begins. And for 3.5 years, he performs miracles, healings, he teaches. 3.5 years go by, and he goes to the cross and he dies. He's in the tomb. He comes out. He's on earth for 40 days. That's 5 weeks. And then he ascends and he goes back into heaven. And ever since he went up into heaven, we've been waiting for him to come back. Can someone say amen? But right before he goes, this is after the death, burial, and resurrection, at the end of the 40 days, right before he ascends, he gathers his disciples. These are his last words. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Not Dr. Fauci. I know some of you love him. Not to the governor of California. Not to elected politicians. Not even to the Pope in Rome. Jesus said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does that mean? What that means is you better pay attention, because what he says goes. And Jesus said, therefore, watch the progression. These are his last words. Here's what I want you to do. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to obey everything I've ever commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age. Now, I want you to write these four things down as we get out of here. He said, go, 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 go. We're not supposed to come in here and just sit down. He wants us to go. Now, where does he want us to go? He wants us to go to all nations. He wants us to make disciples of all nations, all people. That means that there is no room for prejudices in the kingdom of God. It means that there can be no racism in the kingdom of God. We have been called, Jesus said, my last words. Listen, I've paid the penalty. I paid the penalty for your sins. I was buried. I resurrected to give you everlasting life. Now, here's the marching orders for the church. I want you to go into the whole world. If there's a, we're supposed to meet, we're supposed to reach the black man, we're supposed to reach the white man, we're supposed to meet, reach the brown man, the yellow man, and if there was a purple man, I want you to go reach the purple man. I'm still looking for the purple man. We're to go and make disciples of all nations. And as soon as you lead someone to me, he said, here's what I want you to do. Baptizo. Immerse them, baptize them into the name. Not the name of a church. Not into the name of an organization. Not into the name of some religion. But into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach that immersed believer to obey everything I have ever taught you. And then Jesus took off. And we have our marching orders. So why should you get baptized? Oh, it's not because your parents want you to. It's not because your spouse wants you to. And your spouse probably wants you to. It's not because your preacher wants you to. And I will tell you, matter of fact, your preacher wants you to be baptized. But that's not why you're baptized. You're not even baptized. Oh, don't fall over. You're not even baptized because you want to be baptized. Yeah, I think I studied all this stuff. I think I'm going to be baptized. That's not why you get baptized. You don't get baptized because I want you to get baptized. You don't get baptized because your girlfriend wants you to get baptized. You don't get baptized because your parents want you to get baptized. You don't get baptized because the Pope wants you to get baptized. You don't get baptized because Dudley wants you to get baptized. You get baptized because Jesus asked you to be baptized. That's why you should get baptized. That's why. There is no other reason. Oh, this is just week one. Wait till week two. Let's stand. Come on, we got a long ways to go. We got a lot of information to share. Let's pray. You're welcome, sir. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. I'm glad I don't have to rush through because we still have 3 more weeks of information. Lord, just give us a heart that is receptive to your words, to your truth. There are going to be a lot of people here that are going to be wrestling through some decisions these next few weeks. We know that Jesus initiated his ministry. Jesus did not have to be baptized because he'd never committed any sins. But he was doing it to set that example. He was doing it to initiate his ministry. He was doing it to please his heavenly Father. We know that baptism is a symbol of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. We see that anytime anybody's baptized. But Lord, help us to simply do whatever it is that you call us to do. And if we're baptized, it's not because we outsmarted everybody else and this is what we got to do. No, it's simply because you asked us to do this in the Great Commission, to go into the whole world, make disciples, and baptize them into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Help us to please you in all that we do and all that we say. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. Bring us back safely next week, I ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Bring your book with you. Bring your book with you next week. God bless. God bless.